Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. What do the members of any local chamber of commerce have that their counterparts in the human service field often lack? Unity. One voice. That's the point behind the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. Founded in January, it had something of a coming out party last week at the Columbus Metropolitan Club. We invited a few folks from the new chamber to the studio today to tell us more about it, why it's needed, and where it's headed. Coming up later, we'll meet two member representatives of the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County, Marilee Chinnessy-Zerker of Hands-On of Central Ohio and John Bickley of the YMCA of Central Ohio. Joining us now, Kiana Williams. She's Executive Director of the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. It's going to roll off the tongue eventually, but right now I'm just getting used to it. And Kiana managed diversity and inclusion at the Columbus headquarters for Limited Brands. She also was Director for Advocacy and Community Engagement for the Columbus Urban League and has worked with a raft of community boards and groups from United Way to the Ronald McDonald House. Welcome to the show, Kiana.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
How can you join forces and still be looking for the same kind of funding dollars from local, county, state, and private foundation funds?
Well, I think that the big thing with our organizations is that they do still have their own individual identity. We expect them to come to the chamber with their individual identity, but the chamber just really provides an opportunity for those organizations to convene on some common issues. Our organizations are collaborative by nature, so they're figuring out ways to utilize funds in new and different ways. A smaller pot of funds, and so because of that, they do have to be collaborative. And the chamber just provides a vehicle for increasing those opportunities for collaboration.
A lot of folks who follow the state budget crisis and how it's going to trickle down to the local levels have worried about human service agencies and how they're going to cope with the cutbacks. $8 billion is the latest estimate for what's going to have to be cut from the state budget or generated from increased tax revenue. Either way, human service agencies have already taken big hits over the last couple cycles, really. Either it's been stagnant or cuts. So how does that play into the decision to create this organization in the first place?
I think that's one of the driving forces behind why we decided to form the chamber. We really felt like the human service organizations in Central Ohio needed a bigger voice in that process. You know, and we're dealing with, you know, some of the very critical issues that the citizens of Central Ohio are faced with. And when we do sustain those cuts, it dramatically impacts the way we're able to deliver service, while at the same time, the need for those services are increasing. And so we felt like if these organizations who are on the front line of addressing those issues could come together around those policy decisions, really have a seat at the table to be able to influence those decisions, then that would not only impact our organizations, but more importantly, it would impact the lives of the very citizens that we set out to serve.
You've worked for a lot or worked with or for a lot of different kinds of organizations. How often over the years have you thought, geez, I wish we could all just get on the same page once in a while?
Probably every day. You know, like you said, you know, I worked at Limited Brands, and as most people know, Limited Brands has a strong footprint in the community, you know, encouraging volunteerism, donating money, so on and so forth. And sitting on that side of the table, I was able to see how from a business perspective, we could impact those organizations. But also working in the community through organizations like the Urban League, I also saw the value that these organizations play, not only in serving individuals, but also really addressing the problems that our community is faced with. You know, these are organizations that are economic players in our community. You know, they employ people. You know, people pay personnel taxes, so on and so forth. And organizations like Hands-On Central Ohio or the YMCA or the Columbus Urban League really need to be seen as a driver of economic growth in our city as well.
Yep. You employ, there's 66 member groups in the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. The chamber's member organizations currently employ about 6,592 full and part-time workers. Almost 61,600 people volunteer and more than 1,400 people volunteer in board leadership positions. And last year, the chamber member organization served almost 2.5 million
yeah.
people in the Central Ohio region.
Yeah. I mean, those are really important numbers. Our employee number, the 6,000 number that you just read, makes us the ninth largest employer in Central Ohio.
When you aggregate.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, again, what that says is not only are we helping people, you know, get jobs, find child care, transition back into the workforce, all of those types of things, but we're also, again, a major economic driver. We're employing people, and those people are then going out and driving our economy by shopping, you know, like at Kroger or Limited Brands or wherever. And so those things matter, and we really want people to understand that our hands, you know, kind of touch a lot of different things.
My guest is Kiana Williams. She's the executive director of the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. It's a new organization. If you have a question or comment for Kiana, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We've also posted something on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, if that is your preferred mode of communication. Where did the idea come from? Was this just everyone sitting around one day chatting and it occurred to somebody, or what? How does something like this come around? Because it's considered possibly the only one in the country.
Yeah.
Of its kind.
Well, 2 years ago, a small group of our member CEOs got together and decided that something like the chamber needed to exist. And so for the last 2 years, that group has been working to put the chamber in place. And, you know, that work has consisted of a variety of meetings where the groups were coming together to decide what exactly does this chamber look like? What exactly is this chamber going to be responsible for? Who's going to be a member of the chamber? And that work, like I said, was diligently happening for 2 years. And I think that that's important because people need to understand that these are people who were leading, you know, their own organizations, you know, but saw the value and need for something like the chamber. And every other week we're getting together to, you know, plan out exactly how this happened. After that 2 year period, the decision was made to hire a full time staff person. They found a spunky new executive director. And the rest is history. You know, I've been in place for almost 90 days now, and we've really been hitting the ground running.
How was it decided to go from just sort of a collaborative atmosphere to an actual organization with members, paid membership and an executive director? And are you the only person working there, by the way?
Right now.
Okay.
But we do have working committees, which is really important. So the first part of your question, the decision was that there's power in numbers, right? And so it was important to get as many of the existing organizations on board to really strengthen the chamber. And yes, I am the only staff person right now in the process of hiring a part-time assistant to help out. But the committees, a great deal of the work happens in the committees. We have four working committees, an HR and benefits committee that's really looking at how we collaborate across organizations and solve some of those types of challenges around insurance, you know, around, you know, succession planning, so on and so forth. We have a marketing committee where we were actually able to, you know, have a big win in hiring a marketing and PR firm, Lessig & Camper, who have been helping us devise our brand and really get our message out there. We have a public policy committee that really is the heart of our work as well. We really want to have a footprint in that space. We just recently brought on a government relations firm, Bricker & Eckler, to really help us drive that work. And then our fourth committee is our agency collaboration committee, where we're really looking at how can we build those economies of scale across organizations.
So none of this is free then.
Yeah.
You're mentioning organizations that you charge by the hour.
Yeah.
Tell me about the dues and what is the funding mechanism?
Yeah, so we received an initial investment from the Columbus Foundation in the amount of $50,000 that really helped kind of lay the foundation for our work. In addition to that, our member organizations do pay dues anywhere from $500 to $5,000, depending on the organizational budget of that particular organization. And what that allows us to do is really have intense buy-in from those organizations, right? Because they're making an investment and they expect a return on that investment. And so they're getting involved through the committees, doing the work to ensure that the chamber advances and is successful.
How can anybody be a member?
Right now, membership is limited to human service organizations that actually provide direct service and have headquarters in Franklin County.
So when you talk about direct service, First Link, or now it is called, and I just messed that
Hands
up.
Hands on Central Ohio. Yeah.
That is a referral, more of a referral kind of agency.
Well, actually, you know, and I'll let Mary Lee talk more about, you know, what Hands On actually does, but they provide a range of services. Mm-hmm. And so they do offer referral to a number of organizations, but also provide what we would consider direct services in some areas as well.
I suppose in some ways, and we'll talk to Mary Lee about it later, but referral is the first direct service.
Exactly.
Just having knowledge is power. Anybody push against this, saying, no, this isn't a good idea, it doesn't make sense?
You know, not since I've been in my position. I haven't heard any pushback at all. And actually, one of the first things that I've done is really get out to the member organizations and spend time in the organizations with the CEOs, just trying to learn more about their business, learn more about them, but also understand why they chose to join the chamber. And I can say without a doubt, like, the level of passion, support, and energy around the chamber has been phenomenal. Everyone that has their hands in, you know, saying, you know, we want to be a part, we want the chamber to be successful, and we need the chamber to be successful. So I haven't heard any of that. Even, you know, external groups haven't heard any pushback. Columbus Foundation made an investment of $50,000. I think that's huge. We had Chad Jester from the Nationwide Foundation come out and, you know, speak to his support of the chamber and actually even tell us that, you know, when he's taking meetings, he's telling people, you need to join the chamber. So, you know, I think that we've had a lot of great support.
For-profit corporate folks have to like it because it just sounds comfy and familiar.
I think so. You know, I had a meeting the other day with Janelle Simmons from the Limited Brands Foundation, you know, who, you know, like, also, you know, like, remarked on, you know, how important she thought the chamber was and, you know, what a great ideal it was. And I know that there are board members who sit on our individual organizations' boards, and they have been, you know, champions for the work of the chamber as well. And so we are getting that broad-based support, and it feels good.
We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll still be with Kiana Williams, Executive Director of the New Human Service Chamber of Franklin County, and then we'll be joined by Mary Lee Chinnessy-Zerker of Hands On Central Ohio and John Bickley of the YMCA of Central Ohio. We'll get to your calls and your emails. If you want to call us, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we've started a post already on All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page if you want to go there, and you can link to it if you want to go to wosu.org/allsides. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Get the latest information from WOSU the way you want it, daily, biweekly, or monthly. Go to WOSU.org/email and sign up for one of our e-newsletters. And WOSU Public Media presents the Columbus Metropolitan Club's Wednesday Forum. This Wednesday at noon, it's Painting the World Scarlet and Gray, featuring William Brustein, the Vice President for Global Strategies and International Affairs at The Ohio State University. For tickets and more information, visit columbusmetroclub.org. 77 degrees in downtown Columbus. A nice day today. Sunshine and a high of 85. Clear skies tonight and a low of 62 degrees. More sunshine for Tuesday and a high of 88. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the new Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. Joining us again, Kiana Williams. She's Executive Director of the new organization. Kiana, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Anne.
And joining us now, Mary Lee Chinnessy-Zerker. She is CEO of Hands On Central Ohio, and Mary Lee also is, it's formerly First Link, if you're more familiar with that, the Columbus-based nonprofit organization that connects people with social services they need. And Mary Lee is also mayor of Dublin, where she is serving her third four-year term on city council. Right, Mary Lee?
Former mayor. I'm actually former. Now on Dublin City Council without being the mayor.
I'm sorry. I have an old bio. Sorry about that. Welcome to the show, Marilee.
Thank you.
And also with us, John Bickley. He's president and secretary of the board of the YMCA of Central Ohio. It served the community for 150 years with now 11 branches in its system. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
I wanted to go back 2 years. Both of you were in the talks 2 years ago. Tell me how that all got started, John.
There are actually four affinity groups that receive funding from a variety of sources and some combinations of funding that have been having conversations for quite a while. They were city-funded agencies, United Way-funded agencies, the Adam Board-funded agencies, and settlement houses. And because of funding cuts, because of the lack of one voice in the community by nonprofits, we began to talk about the need for a organization that could bring consensus to nonprofits in the community and help the community recognize, number one, the need for the programs and services that we provide, but also the vast resources that were available through our nonprofits in this community.
So who thought of the idea of a chamber?
I think that just kind of evolved. I don't know that any one person put their stamp on it, but I don't know, Marilee, what do you think?
No, I think it was an evolution because we were interested particularly in a new role for the group, one of really advocating and influencing public policy. And typically that is a role of what we know to be a chamber, even though chambers are traditionally business-oriented. We were interested in the concept that people would clearly understand that were outside of the human service arena.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Christine, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I was really curious about how the chamber kind of differs from the United Way in their different roles.
So that's a great question, Christine. One of the major ways that we differ from United Way is that the chamber is actually incorporated as a 501c4. United Way is a 501c3. And what that means for the chamber is, to Marilee's earlier point, is that this allows us to have a bigger footprint in the advocacy and public policy space. So, you know, we're not collecting donations, you know, we're not distributing funds to organizations, which, you know, really is the primary function of United Way. You know, their client is the donor and they're really trying to decide how they distribute funds. And what we're trying to do is create this one voice that John talked about earlier and really raise the stature of human service organizations within the community.
I think the other important thing is I think there is an incredible resource out there in the nonprofits in this community that could help solve a lot of the community challenges that are out there today. And we don't take advantage of that many times.
Did that answer your question, Christine?
It did. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for calling. When you were talking about building the coalition, things were starting to go south financially at the state level, and as I mentioned earlier, all that kind of thing trickles down. As you were trying to build the coalition, how did you get these different organizations, many of which were strapped already, to pony up? Even the ones that could technically afford the larger dues.
Well, the affinity groups, we actually already paid a membership fee to them. So it was not an uncommon thing to have in our budgets some money placed in there for membership. While this construction of our membership fees is different, it allowed us to write perhaps a little bit larger check, but now we belong to both groups, both the chamber and still our affinity group. So it wasn't totally a new concept to most of us who are members of one of these groups.
Yeah. The other thing that we did during the second year of organization is that we held some community orientations. Several of them were hosted at the Clums Foundation. Basically, it was set up to educate the nonprofits as who we are and what we are and what we would like to do. And it actually became a pretty easy sell to get the initial 50 or 60 nonprofits that joined in. So it was. We had a plan of attack. We put the information out there. We answered questions, and then we started taking registration.
I think also, Anne, that one of the things that helped was that we were seeing these dramatic cuts and that the world was really changing around us. And as well as Kiana mentioned, more and more people were needing our services and we had less resources to deliver those services. So I think that everybody recognized that the future was going to be different. We needed to look at different kind of strategies of educating the policymakers, educating ourselves, and looking at a different way of delivery of services, perhaps with less money but more targeted money.
Can you give me an example of how economies of scale would change the delivery of a service with the chamber?
Well, I can give you one of Hands-On Central Ohio.
Yeah.
We receive money for our 211 number, which is the access point for the entire not-for-profit sector here in Franklin County. And we're funded by most of the government entities as well as United Way to deliver that service. But we did receive by one of our primary institutional funders a 50% reduction in funding for that service. And yet our call volume is well over 400,000 a year.
Increasing
daily, you know, because of the economy. And so we had to look internally at what are different ways of delivering that service, because we knew that we can't just stop answering the phone. And we are available 24/7. So we now have partnerships with Goodwill, with COVA, with Columbus State, and Workforce, the Workforce Coalition and all, to bring in people who are learning new skills and learning, in this case, they're even learning about resources that might be available in the community that they might even access or their family and friends might access. So we have a lot of greater diversity of our workforce, and many of them are volunteers or stipended volunteers through other systems.
Yep. John, did you want to say?
The word access, I think, is an important piece of this, and particularly over the last 2 or 3 years as funding opportunities have dwindled. I know we have, and I think most of our partner agencies have noticed a significant increase in requests for financial assistance. Bringing this group together allows us to utilize the resources that many times we are not aware of and utilize those more effectively in terms of answering and addressing the needs in the community. Most of our organizations are open to all. I mean, if somebody walks through the door of the YMCA, if they need financial assistance, whether it be for child care, housing, swimming lessons or day camp opportunities for their kids, we don't turn folks away, and we provide those financial assistance. And we get those dollars are received from a number of sources, United Way, our own private donations, foundations, corporations that step up annually. And again, increasing the number of people at the table, I think, just increases the potential to generate more dollars and awareness in the community.
Now, United Way changed how they were funding, I guess it was last year, and some organizations, you know, their relationship with United Way ended for all intents and purposes. It may, you know, reignite down the road, but for now, they didn't fit into that matrix that they had established. Are those organizations welcome as well? It's not just about being related to United Way. Are there other organizations outside of United Way that are part of your organization now, part of the chamber?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think John mentioned kind of briefly about our affinity groups. And so
tell me, when you call them affinity groups, why the word affinity? I don't mean to interrupt you, but
No, that's great. The word affinity is really because these individual organizations have some common connection to one another. And so, for instance, one of the affinity groups is PAC, which is the Providers Professional Advisory Council, which are United Way-funded organizations. HSA, which is the Human Service Advocates, which are city-funded organizations. PLA, which is the Professional Leadership Advisory Group, which is Adam-funded agencies. And so it really isn't limited to United Way organizations. We organized around the affinity groups initially because it was kind of a common target, or an easy target, I should say, because we could bring those groups in. We knew who they were. We had access to those organizations. And that's really kind of how we convened initially. But we know that there are opportunities for organizations even beyond those affinity groups. And as we move into our recruitment for the coming year, we'll actually be branching out further than our affinity groups.
66 members now. What are you shooting for?
So we hope to have a 10% increase next year, as well as 100% retention of our existing organizations. And actually, we are at 67 now. We did just recently have a new organization join us, Mary Haven. And so people are hearing about the chamber. And as, you know, we increase our visibility within the community, people are wanting to join. And as we increase the work that we're doing, you know, people are joining because they're hearing about what we're doing, and they know the power in the collective.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 820, and we're talking about the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County with Executive Director Kiana Williams, Miralee Chinnessy-Zerker of Hands-On Central Ohio, and John Bickley of YMCA of Central Ohio. If you have a question or comment, you know what to do. Let's take a call right now. Oops. Okay, sorry. 614-292-8513. We have a technical difficulty, but we will fix it. Does anything else like this exist in the nation? I made that assertion earlier. I'm not sure. Is there something out there like it?
So we don't know of any other entity on the local level organized the way that we're organized. So in the past or even now, you might find human service organizations that are coming together around a common issue. And so they come together around that issue. They solve that issue. And then, you know, they kind of go back, you know, to their kind of usual operations. You have things like this on a state level, but locally organized, you know, as a 501c4, you know, with staff and, you know, with the CEO level of involvement that we have, we really don't know of any other entity.
David, welcome to the show. I was sort of interested in the description. You wanted to talk about how the chamber keeps nonprofits in the conversation. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think one of the impetus that started the idea of forming the organization at a meeting out at Hoover Park a couple of years ago was the change in the philosophy of the United Way about its relationship with nonprofit organizations. Previously, nonprofits had a seat at the table on the policy board at the United Way, and the decision was made to eliminate that relationship and have the United Way kind of make its own decisions and use its own judgment about what the community needed. And I think that's one of the reasons that it was necessary to form the chamber to make sure that the nonprofits had a forum where they could be sharing their expertise and sharing their perception of what the needs were in the community, something they were previously able to do at the United Way, but then the United Way chose a different business model for its operations, and I think that's what created the need for the organization.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David, for your call. We were talking about that a little earlier, that United Way had changed its business model. But that happened after you started talking 2 years ago, didn't it? Or was that part of the conversation?
I think it was going on at the same time probably, because really the United had been working for several years and looking at a new business model. But I really hope that people realize that it's not about any individual funder or organization. It was really a collective interest in being one voice for the needs of the clients that we service, and to really educate and be involved in a discussion with policymakers in a different way than we had been involved in before. Most of us had always been advocates with our legislative groups, but we were talking about our own organization and not the collective interest of the community and how to really build the capacity of the community and respond to very important needs that the community might be facing, such as foreclosure in this day and age or the need for emergency food supplies, et cetera. And so as a result, we were really interested in a strategic difference in the way that we did business that was separate and apart from any particular funder.
Yeah.
I think another piece that we haven't talked about is just the whole internal operational challenges that many of these organizations, large and small, experience. Purchasing of health insurance today is a major challenge for any size organization. And one of the things that the HR committee is looking at is how do we more effectively do that can benefit our member agencies and keep the cost down yet provide quality service and quality health care. So I think there's a whole internal operational side of this that also is of significant benefit to organizations that participate.
So the cost of doing business, such as it is, can be there can be economies of scale there.
I mean, sharing backroom operations are topics that have come up. I think eventually down the line we'll begin to discuss and how do we incorporate those in just the whole structure of the organization.
614-292-8513. Kelly, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I'm really excited about the chamber. I look at a lot of the nonprofit entities in any community. There's a lot of services that overlap, and the fact that you guys can get together and work as a team, like, for instance, on the foreclosure issue, like was mentioned before, and brainstorm together and help each other out is just phenomenal. I'm wondering, is there any way for those of us in the community to be helped volunteer?
I don't know, Kelly. We're losing you, Kelly, but you want to know if there's any way people in the community can volunteer for the chamber?
Yes.
So right now we don't have a specific apparatus for community members to be involved. Actually, I take that back. One of the ways that you could get involved, Kelly, is you can reach out to me at the chamber offices, 884-7232, and let me know of that interest. You could serve on one of our committees, because one of the ways that we've set up the committees is that people who have an interest in one of the, you know, committee programmatic areas that I talked about, so marketing, HR, public policy, or agency collaboration, you don't have to be limited to being a CEO of an organization to participate in that way. And so that is one of the ways that you can get involved. You can also get involved by, you know, participating directly with our member organizations. So there are a number of opportunities to get involved. So, yeah, feel free to reach out to me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly, for your call. Obviously, the Columbus Foundation is supportive with a $50,000 grant. What about other foundations when they look at what you're doing? How does this play with them? You must have talked to them.
We haven't talked to a lot of funders
Specifically
for a funding source for the overall organization.
No, but for feedback on the concept.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The there is a group of funders in this community that meet on a regular basis. We have met with them several times. We have gotten favorable feedback, and I think I mentioned earlier offline that one of them quoted to me, says it's about time. You know, what took so long to bring this group together, and so I think there is a lot of support. However, the proof's in the pudding, and I think our first year or so of operations is going to be critical for us to, as Kiana said, not only to grow but to start to show some results within the committee groups and recruitment of new organizations and just effectiveness and collaboration and those types of issues in the community.
We have to take a short break and then we'll return. If you have a question, comment, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to Facebook, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and comment there. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, Matthew Weiner, creator of the ABC series Mad Men. He says many of the lines from the show come from real life, like one by Don Draper's mistress.
And she says to him, "I like being bad and then going home and being good." Someone said that to me on an airplane.
Mad Men returns for its fourth season Sunday. Join us.
And that discussion on Fresh Air, it begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. You can see the new lineup of public affairs programming every Friday night on WOSU TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record at 8:30. Continuing at 9 is the McLaughlin Group, and at 9:30, PBS presents Need to Know, a new program with an innovative broadcast and web approach to news gathering and reporting. Watch the new public affairs lineup Friday nights beginning at 8 on WOSU TV.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
78 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:40 this morning. A beautiful day today, sunshine and a high of 85 today. Clear skies tonight, a low of 62. More sunshine for Tuesday and a high of 88. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. My guests, the executive director for 90 days and counting now, right? Kiana Williams, and also Marilee Chinnessy-Zerker of Hands-On Central Ohio and John Bickley of YMCA of Central Ohio. In Franklin County, are you strictly, is it just Franklin County, or it's so easy to kind of leech out to Central Ohio? How do you keep from doing that?
So right now we're just really trying to get kind of our Franklin County house in order. And so right now it is limited to Franklin County. But we do know that eventually we will have to grow beyond Franklin County. A lot of our organizations already deliver services outside of Franklin County. Right. So it's a natural next step. But right now we really want to make sure that we have everything ticked and tied here.
As far as Franklin County goes, then, what are the main issues? What are the main concerns?
Marilee?
Well, one of the ways that we're looking at that is we did engage with Bricker and Eckler and hired them as our lobbying advocate firm for us. And Greg Listini is the head attorney working with us. So right now we're developing what our agenda is going to be. The first go-around, so to speak, is going to be the state budget, because that's being developed as we speak. And, of course, the 408 line item for the Adam Board is of great significance immediately. So we're interested in that, and a special lobbyist has been engaged to do that work with the Adam Board. But we see that funding certainly will be a number one on the agenda, whether it's at the state level, the city, the county, or individual organizations like Adam or the United Way. But we are looking at other policy issues, because throughout, as the law firms, of course, do monitor legislation that may be of impact. There's a lot of questions about the tax and both the not-for-profit tax status that we have, as well as people being able to give donations. This comes up at the federal level as well as the state level. So we'll be making sure that we stay on top of what those things that might come forward in the future and how they might impact our organizations and what position we might need to take publicly on those.
I didn't check yet, and maybe this is an obvious no answer, but are there any government entities in here?
No.
They have to be outside of government. But you often are working with government. A lot of these agencies are.
Yeah, we hope so. You know, we hope that not only are our member organizations working with government, but we want the chamber to be an intimate partner, with government as well. But right now, yeah, it is just limited to those direct service organizations.
Non-government.
Yeah.
Okay. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Abdul, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Abdul. I'm originally from Somalia, and I am the chairman of Somali American Chamber of Commerce. And we are currently working on to create the African Chamber of Commerce. And if you notice, there is a large number of African community here in Ohio. I was wondering if there is any opportunity, if there is any way that we can work together, or if we wanted to become a member of your organization, is there some information that I can get from you?
So thanks for the question, Abdul. First of all, you can absolutely call me in the office. We can set up some time to talk more about your organization, talk about the chamber, the Human Service Chamber, and, you know, where there might be some synergies between the two groups. And for just some general information on the chamber, you can visit our website at www.humanservicechamber.org. And that'll give you some insight into what we're doing, who we are, that type of thing. But we're always looking for opportunities to partner with other organizations that are doing the type of work that we think is important to our organizations and the overall quality of life issues for Columbus.
Does that help, Abdul?
Good. And may I ask your name and your phone number, if you don't mind?
Certainly. Kiana Williams. First name is spelled Q-I-A-N-A. Williams is spelled the traditional way, 884-7232.
884-7232?
Yes.
And we'll be posting those on our website, too, Abdul. It's WOSU.org/allsides. We'll put the link to their website on there as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I think you're doing a great job, and I really appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to working with you guys.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks for the call. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're going to put those links on at wosu.org/allsides. But if you can't wait, it's humanservicechamber.org. And the phone number is 884-7232, and I assume it's 614.
Yes.
Right. There is the governance issue. How do you govern yourselves now? There are a lot of people that are used to being the boss.
Yes, and I got all those alpha people in the room.
Exactly.
With me. Yes.
There you go.
Kiana's the boss.
So,
now.
Yeah. So what's that like, Kiana?
Yeah, it's great.
Tell us how you really
Absolutely.
Feel.
Absolutely. So we have a steering committee, and the steering committee really does set the policy for the organization. The steering committee is made up of the CEOs of our member organizations. We have 15 seats on the steering committee, and we have a chair, a vice chair, and a treasurer within that structure. And, you know, all jokes aside, you know, it's great to have that level of involvement from individuals who actually are, you know, have other full-time jobs, you know, but who have such an investment in the mission of the organization that they come every 2 weeks to a steering committee meeting to really drive the work of the organization. I mean, we talked earlier that, you know, I am one person, have a lot of energy, but, you know, just can't do everything. And the fact that there is such a high level of involvement allows the work to get done.
Merrily, John, have you noticed any of that dynamic, or has it been collegial as Kiana would have us believe?
You know, fortunately for Kiana, she's new to the group, but we're not new to the group. And most of us have been relating to each other for years, really.
Yeah.
And so it's just a new venue for us to sit around the table at. And one has to remember that we run businesses, and so we are always looking for better ways to run our businesses and new strategies to deliver our businesses. She enjoys a robust dialogue in most of these meetings, but we tend to reach consensus eventually, and she is relieved when she can leave the room and go forth doing the work that we've all agreed she should do.
I love that euphemism, robust dialogue. What does it mean to you, John?
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And I think the other important thing to note is that most of us have been working together for years. And I think there's a misnomer out there that nonprofits, you know, live in silos and don't work together. But there are significant collaborations already going on, more being created as a result of the chamber. And I think you're going to see more and more of that as the chamber moves forward. And it's fun dialogue. I mean, it's groups coming together with a common interest to make the community a better place to live and solve problems that are challenging this community today.
614-292-8513. Hal, you're on the air with Kiana Williams, Merrily Chinnessy-Zerker, and John Bickley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Wondering in this environment, while I admire what you're doing, and I think it's probably 50 years overdue, how on earth that you pull together the various elements required to be successful in an economic environment like we have in the current situation, and with the partisan politics being so vitriolic, it just seems to me like you're doing something that's almost undoable.
So I think that's a great question, Hal. I think, you know, it's times like these when people see the need for an entity like the chamber even more. It's kind of to the point that John made earlier where somebody said, you know, what took you so long? You know, I think that we just saw the need, you know, plain and simple. And, you know, I think, you know, anything worth doing, you know, takes some effort. And so we know that it's going to require a lot of effort. And so one of the reasons why we chose the government relations firm that we chose, Bricker, was because they do have relationships that allow them to bridge both sides of the aisle, because we know that it's important to have meaningful relationships, you know, across those interest areas.
I also think that, as John mentioned, we all have a single mission. We may, our individual agencies may have their own mission, but as a collective, we have a single mission to make our community the best that it can be, regardless of what the economic situations may be on any given day, because we know that's going to fluctuate over time. And we are all here to really provide the top services that we can provide and to look at the strategies that are going to solve some of the very serious social problems that we have had.
And again, I think it speaks to the caliber of nonprofits in this community. And I mean, they're outstanding, without question, across the board.
Kiana, you were talking about health. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Yes, I do have a follow-up question.
Okay.
Are the traditional people who have traditionally, perhaps on both sides of the aisle, been supportive of things like this from a corporate standpoint or from a philanthropic standpoint, and on the other side, perhaps something like organized labor, are they participating and are they engaged with this?
So I would say that to the first part of your question, yes, we have had interest expressed in the chamber from individuals on both sides of the aisle. We recently had a launch at the State House and, you know, had some good representation there, as well as individuals who told us that they weren't able to make it to the State House. However, you know, they wanted to, A, learn more about the chamber and figure out ways that they could participate. And that was individuals from both sides of the aisle. With respect specifically to organized labor, at this point in time, I can't say that we really have any, you know, kind of meaningful connections to those entities.
I see. Well, thank you. I wish your growth the most success.
Thanks, Hal.
Thanks for your call, Hal. Mary Lee, did you want to add something?
Well, I was just going to mention that while we haven't directly reached out to organized labor as a chamber, it is possible that some of those 1,500 board members representing in our agencies, that we might have some representation from organized labor that we have been educated along the way, because all of us have spoken to our boards about the chamber. But it certainly is a very interesting strategy that we can add to our public policy agenda as we move forward.
Kiana, you mentioned you're looking for about a 10% increase this year or the coming year over the past. How big is this universe?
So right now we have identified the potential in 200 organizations, that really is based on the affinity groups, the membership and participation in the affinity groups. So even beyond the affinity groups, probably the sky is the limit.
Okay. Did you want to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say, of course, Hands on Central Ohio does have the comprehensive database of all of the health and human service organizations in Franklin County, and there are over 500 of them, some very, very small and some obviously as large as the Y or others. That they operate more than 5,000 programs that are available to citizens here. So if anybody's ever looking for a particular organization, they can call 211 or they can go on our website at www.handsoncentralohio.org.
And I'm pretty sure if we don't, we will have all the organizations here, YMCA and Hands On Central Ohio, and of course, Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. The links to those on our website at wosu.org/allsides if you want to learn more about those. Right now we have with us on the phone Dennis. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Hi. How are you? I've never, this is something new for me, and so I'm learning as I've listened to this program, and thank God for WOSU.
Thank you.
I love your program.
Thank you.
I'm curious about one thing, about the structure of these private enterprises that are going to get involved. And you mentioned about stockholders, you know, having influence because of profit. I'd like to know, is there a structure to the services cost? I mean, as they're influenced by stockholders? And how about the creation and distribution of those profits? How is that? Is that managed by the group or by the companies that, by the chamber or by the companies?
So Dennis, our chamber isn't a traditional chamber in that it's not made up of for-profit businesses. So we don't have stockholders, and we're not distributing funds back to those stockholders. The way that we're set up is we do have a steering committee, and that steering committee is made up of, again, the CEOs who are, you know, part of the member organizations, 15 seats on the steering committee. And then we also have, every other month, we have general membership meetings where all of our member organizations participate in those meetings, and that allows those individuals to kind of learn about what's going on. If at a point we had a need to take a vote, it would be, you know, one vote per organization, that type of thing. So that's really how our governance structure is set up.
And yeah. the only financial piece of this are dues that each organization pays into the chamber, and that's based on organizational size, budget size.
Well, may I follow up?
Sure.
What I'm interested in is how does that affect the cost of providing these services, which I understand that what you do, you're basically like a switchboard. You delegate. But I was curious as to how do these companies...
Dennis, before you go on, that's not how I see it. I'm not perceiving it as a switchboard that delegates. Maybe let's just do a little thumbnail. I see it more of as a collaboration and, a way to represent many voices as one, but maybe I'm wrong.
Kind of what I'm saying, but I still would be interested in how... How are these companies that participate? You mentioned about stockholders. I'm just curious, because of the current situation, stockholders influence the way their companies do business. I want to know how that affects the services.
So you're seeing the members as stockholders in
I'm talking about the companies that you hire.
They only hire companies to represent them as lobbyists at the state house and as PR agents for communication purposes.
Yeah, the participating organizations are all nonprofits and have no stockholders in the organization. The organizations are, for the most part, are governed by nonprofit volunteer boards that serve at the pleasure of the organization.
Well, I must have misunderstood. I heard you say something about stockholders, and maybe you were talking about something else. I just heard you talk about stockholders.
That's possible that someone might have used that term, Dennis. That's okay. I'm glad you called so we could make it really clear.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Take care. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome, honey. Bye-bye.
We have just a minute left, and I don't know if we have enough time for any more calls, but if you want to give it a stab, go ahead. So you're looking at – you're saying there's sort of this universe of 200 – organizations. As far as your members go, have you seen some weakening because of the economy that they are struggling and that the dues may be out of their reach?
So, I haven't seen someone say, this is too much for me. I know that there are, John mentioned earlier, people want to see results. And so, a huge part of what I have to do is deliver on that value proposition. I have to, really understand how every individual organization shows up in the chamber, what they need for it to be effective, and deliver on that. But I think most people are prepared to give us the time, to do that.
So you're just hearing from Kiana Williams, who has absolutely no pressure on her right now. She is the executive director of the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County and the deliverer, as it sees. Thanks a lot for being with us today, Kiana.
I appreciate it.
And also, Marilee Chinnessy-Zerker, CEO of Hands On Central Ohio. Marilee, thanks for joining the show today.
Thank you.
And John Bickley, he is CEO of YMCA of Central Ohio. John, I'm glad you could be with us.
Thank you for having me.
That is all the time we have. We were talking about the Human Service Chamber of Franklin County. All relative and related links will be at WOSU.org/allsides. That's all the time we have today for All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.